This sermon has been revised. The current version is 4:20:14.
All right, today is September 14th, year 2008, and it's the 18th Sunday after Pentecost, and it's also the feast day of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. May the Holy Cross of our Lord Jesus Christ bless us and protect us. We're going to talk today about an important topic I spoke about in the past, but I think we have a more clear understanding of how to present this situation. It always comes up about people who were nominal Catholics, or maybe they were Catholic or were not sure, and they died before Vatican II, and some of them died after Vatican II, and who should we pray for as if they're in purgatory or not? Now, first we want to say the biggest problem we get with all people has really nothing to do with what I'm going to teach you here right now. It has to do with human respect and loving family more than God. So everybody wants their family members in heaven. So for people who are like that, this sermon is going to do them no good. Because they don't. Not only do they want their nominal Catholic, a nominal Catholic, by the way, I mean they're not really Catholic. That means they're heretics or apostates or schismatics, and they're Catholic in name only. They're really automatically excommunicated heretics or apostates or schismatics, and they're outside the Catholic Church, even though they think they're Catholic. That's the case with all the people in the Vatican II Church today. That's the case with everybody in the Society of St. Pius X, everybody, from the very founding of that order, because we know that their founder was a Salvation heretic, and he taught that heresy. And then it goes even further with these people with human respect and loving family more than God. They even deny the salvation dogma, which gets their Protestant family members and Jewish family members and Muslim family members and whatever their neighbors might be, or family members or relationships, into heaven. They want all men to go to heaven. This sermon's not for them because they're not going to listen. But I want to warn them. Maybe there is somebody out there that holds that heresy, and I'm not going to totally despair of your salvation, because there's hope. Because no matter how bad you are today, you can convert tomorrow. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10:34-37. He says, "Think not that I came to send peace, but the sword. I came to set a man at variance with his father, and a man's enemy shall be in his own household. Whosoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whosoever loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me, or brother and sister," and so on. And then in the other verse, Luke 8:21, our Lord said, "My brethren and my mother are those who hear the word of God and do it. That's who my brothers are. That's who my true family is." So I want to break people from this spell. They've got great-grandparents and grandparents and great-great-grandparents and good aunts, they think, and good uncles. And they want them all in heaven. It's sickening. And I'm warning people that when they come into the Catholic Church, and if you're, you better get rid of that right away. All right? And first of all, even if somebody really was a true Catholic and died as a true Catholic, we cannot ever say that that person's in heaven except by a special revelation from God, and even that would not be infallible and binding. So you have to presume, you can presume that they're in purgatory, but that doesn't mean they are. That's provided that you're sure the person was Catholic, or at least from exterior manifestations. If the person was a secret heretic, you don't know that, so that's not your fault. But my point is, when we pray for people in purgatory that died from all our external knowledge Catholic, that doesn't mean he's in heaven or he's in purgatory. He could be damned in hell. That all that means is we're presuming they're in purgatory, you know? And I'm going to get into who we should pray for as if they may be in purgatory, and who we cannot pray for. Because everybody wants to have their dad and their mom and their husband and their wife and their son and their daughter in heaven. Everybody. When we know, Jesus said in Matthew 7:13-14, "Enter the narrow gate, for narrow is the way and straight is the way that leadeth to life, and there are very, very few that find it." And in Matthew 20:16, "Many are called and few are chosen." It's very few. And when our Lord said, "When he comes a second time, will he find faith at all?" There's many verses that prove to us that very few people are saved. And I always said that everybody wants their a husband and wife and father and mother and grandfather and grandmother in heaven. If that was the case, no one would be in hell. Hell is loaded with grandparents and parents and children. That's all. That's what hell is, all right? So let's get rid of this phony false respect. You want to go to hell for idolizing your family members? That's what you're going to do if you don't overcome that right now, I tell you. And here, now we're going to go into just a few brief parameters to let you know. The thing that determines whether the person really was Catholic or not. Now we're going to be talking about nominal Catholics, whether they're really Catholic or not, or they're nominal Catholics. How do we know? When is the separation point? When do we determine that? Well, I knew, and I always said, and it is true, although I didn't always explain it correctly in the years ago, I always said that in the latter days of the great apostasy, nobody in the Vatican II Church can be saved, because that's definite that all their churches, and they're all being taught heresies in the local levels and all that. But it even really goes before Vatican II. We're going to get into that even long before that. There were many non-Catholic small-c churches that called themselves Catholic churches, but they weren't. And after debating many times about what does it take to fall out, and the real book that really did it for me when the Holy Ghost inspired me to write The Baptized Non-Catholic Children, and God clearly let me know through other situations, even through Protestants, that the minute a baptized child adheres to a non-Catholic church or sect, he's outside the Catholic Church, ipso facto, by the mortal sin of schism, and that's the end of it. And then later, and it's not going to be very long before he also falls into formal heresy by professing what we call heretical teachings in his Protestant religion or in the Vatican II Church that are knowable by reason and God's grace upon his heart. But that's not the first sin he commits. The first is he's not going to a Catholic small-c church. That's what really determines whether your relatives were, had a hope even to be Catholic. They have to first be attending a Catholic church. And when I say, I mean small c, your local parish church that you're adhering to and that you're a member of and that you're going to Mass at, where you're, that's where you're going to church at. That's one thing that determines whether you're going to be Catholic or not. Now, that doesn't mean that you can also be going to a Catholic church and you could be a secret heretic on your, privately. That's another issue. Then you'd be a heretic for another reason. All right, but we're going to talk about the sure way of knowing. One sure way of knowing is we have to look at what's being taught in your local church that calls itself Catholic. That's really the determining factor.
A Catholic church becomes a non-Catholic church in three ways. One, by schism. Two, by doubting or denying a basic dogma. Three, by culpably doubting or denying a deeper dogma. For a church to become a non-Catholic church, the head priest of the church must either teach the schism or heresy to the flock, or allow it to be taught by a priest or someone else under him. Schism or heresy is taught to the flock and thus in the church, either from the pulpit or lectures, or the classroom or catechisms, or newsletters, or in any other way.
That's how it happens. That's what happened with the Arians. Their churches went from one day being Catholic to the next being not Catholic because they went out and denied the divinity of Jesus Christ. And then started teaching to their flock that Jesus isn't God. And that's when St. Athanasius says how to leave those churches. And he said, they have the churches, but we have the faith. He had it because they almost took over all the churches, the Arian churches. Same thing with Anglicanism. As soon as that religion was being taught in the local one-time Catholic churches, it was no longer a Catholic church. It's now the Anglican church.
Another proof that a Catholic church can become a non-Catholic church
is canon law, which states
Mass may not be said in churches of heretics or schismatics, even though they were in the past properly consecrated or blessed, end quote. That means churches that were Catholic churches, properly consecrated and blessed by a Catholic priest, and used as Catholic churches, can in the future at some time become churches of heretics or schismatics. And in those churches, Catholic priests are forbidden to say Mass, and Catholics are forbidden to attend those Masses, which is all more proof again of the dogma that Catholics are forbidden to not only pray in communion with non-Catholics and attend Mass at non-Catholic churches.
So this canon law
is proof that a Catholic church can go from one day being a Catholic church to the next a non-Catholic church,
which this canon law calls
churches of heretics or schismatics.
So it all depends on the church that the particular person was going to. Now, in the latter days of the Great Apostasy, which I put with the promulgation of the new catechism, and it probably was even before that. Even probably before that. But I say that because that new catechism, which they call the Catechism of the Catholic Church, is not a real catechism of the Catholic Church. It's heretical. It's apostate. It contains many notorious heresies in that catechism. Well, when they promulgated that
in 1997,
that was a mandatory teaching for the people at the different levels. So we know that those people in those Vatican II churches were now being taught from the new catechism. The Society of St. Pius X, the reason that every one of those churches are non-Catholic churches is because their founder was a Salvation heretic, and he used heretical catechisms that taught the flock that Jews, Talmudic people who die as Talmudic Jews and Muslims and Protestants can go to heaven and be saved. It was taught to them. In every one of those churches. That means anybody who even belongs, goes to church at an Society St. Pius X church, and goes to church at Mass at those churches, is outside the Catholic Church on that alone. I don't care if your father even held the Salvation dogma himself, but went there. You can't go there, because they were denying it. If you stayed in that church and you said, well, I don't agree with Lefebvre and his heretical priests, because they all deny the salvation dogma, but I'm going to go to Mass there. You're in communion with heretics, and you're outside the Catholic Church by schism, first of all, by the mortal sin of schism.
And also for the mortal sin of formal heresy for knowingly praying in communion with heretics.
So, let's take an example of how we're going to handle this now, because we get a lot of people coming here and going, oh, I'm praying for my grandfather, my great-grandfather. First of all, folks, I'd like to tell you, if you ever knew really how many people were saved, and going from at least after World War II onward, I'll say at least that, layman, I mean, it's a scary thing, and it's very scary, it's very few. I think Bernard even said in that one thing, 200,000 people die one day, and only three people were saved out of that. Now, people say that's an exaggeration. I don't think it is, all right? You want to add a few more, Ron? Fine, but it's that scary, saving your soul. So let's stop it with, because people are going to say, you have no right to tell me that my relative was a nominal Catholic or was a heretic. Yes, I do, if I have information that proves it. And here's how we're going to let you know. Sometimes we may not have information to prove it. And for lack of any information, because we don't know what that local church teaches, where they went to church at, we can still then pray for them. But we need, once we get information, that local church that your grandfather went to was teaching the heresy from the Baltimore Catechism, that Talmudic Jews and Muslims and Protestants who die that way can be saved. And that catechism was taught in that church. Guess what? Your grandfather is a heretic, at least by sins of omission. He was a schismatic because he was going to a non-Catholic church. Sorry. What makes a church Catholic is not just the building and the Holy Mass and statues and the rosary. It's the faith first and foremost. You can have a church that looks Catholic in every other way, but something's being taught and that's denying the faith. So they're not teaching you the Catholic religion. Schismatics could have a lot of holy looking things in there. And they're simply out just for schism alone, let alone they have some heresies to boot. But it only takes one heresy to make a church a non-Catholic church. Now I'm going to give you an example in the case of the church I grew up in. And I always tell the brothers this. I knew when God wasn't answering my prayers, there was something seriously wrong. And God has shown me I was not Catholic. You know why? Because the church I attended, which is Our Lady of Good Counsel in Newark, New Jersey. It was on, I think, Summer Avenue, or I forget the street it was on. But anyway, the Monsignor was Monsignor Weisbrod. And I forget some of the priests. One priest there was a pedophilia priest later on. It turns out this guy, Father Galvin. But anyway, and I'm going to just tell you what happened with me, and I'm going to tell you how we determine these things. Because it's not just Vatican II. This apostasy, as you folks now know from listening to my sermon, started long ago. All right? And you have to really look at the individual church. Now, one of the particular salvation heretics, we call him a dogma changer heretic also, because he believes dogmas change your meaning. And he admits that the salvation dogma, at least he's saying, the new meaning of it is different from what was first handed down. But he believes it can change, so he sees no problem with that. But he says, not until after World War II, in the middle 20th century, did most of the laymen begin to believe in the salvation heresy. Before that, there were still quite a few laymen, at least, that were believing in the salvation dogma before World War II. All the theologians denied it. Probably all the bishops. Almost all the bishops. Maybe not all of them, but almost all of them. And a good majority of the priests. And maybe not even until they were taught, but I think even the priests themselves, but they were taught probably not to teach it to the layman, but that I'm not sure. We need to do studying on that. But the layman is what we're concerned about here, because these are the majority of the people that are in the, that we're dealing with, that are family members and friends. So the church I grew up in used the Baltimore Catechism, St. Joseph Baltimore Catechism. And in that catechism, on one page, it says there's no salvation outside the Catholic Church. It's the only church and all that. And then you turn, now this is when I was learning for studying for confirmation and taking catechism class. And then I turned the page, and on the other page it says, does that mean Jews, Protestants, and other people who are not Catholic? Oh no, it doesn't mean that those who are outside the church by no fault of their own could be saved. And it had ropes hanging off of Noah's Ark, and it had little boats on there. I said, well, no, I'm sorry, that ain't the way it is. As a kid, I tell you folks, that struck me like a thunderbolt. I was already outside the church. I know it, and I can tell you many reasons why I knew it. Many times when I was sick and I prayed to God and asked God to help me, He was never answering my prayers. Even then, as a little kid. He still gives you grace, even non-Catholics, to try to save you, but I wasn't in a state of grace. I wasn't Catholic. He wasn't hearing my prayers in a way that He hears the prayers of a Catholic. I know that now because He's listening to my prayers now for the first time in my life. In the past couple of years, God has been answering my prayers in miraculous ways. It was not happening when I was a child. He was not ever answering my prayer. And I was wondering, what's going on here? There's something wrong. And guys, indeed, there is something wrong. The church you belong to, Richard, is not Catholic. is teaching the salvation heresy. And probably some other heresies too, but that was the big one. Well, not too long after that, when I start teaching you the St. Joseph Catechism, I also found out why.
I was outside the Catholic Church.
And when I turned that page and saw that heresy, it was so contradictory to me, it was gross. I said, how could that be? I raised my hand. I says, on this other page it says there isn't, and the other page it says there is. Now, there's something wrong with that. I can tell you now for certain, when that happened to me, I knew it was gross. It was. I lost all respect for the religion. It was like a lie. There's something going on here. How could you tell me this on one page and tell me that on the other page? I lost all confidence. All confidence in everything else they were teaching me. I said, how could you be saying this and say that instantly? I'm telling you that, I said, God knows, He'll testify that what I'm telling you is true. The first time I read that salvation heresy, it didn't ring with me. I hated it. It was like a sore thumb. It was like banging your head into a wall. It was like, what is that all about? I just read there is and now there isn't, okay? So I'm telling you good examples of what's going on there. The church I grew up in, Our Lady of Good Counsel, definitely was not a Catholic church because it was teaching to the flock the salvation heresy. Now here's my other point. My German grandmother went to that church because they were living close to us. Of course, my parents went to their church. Now, on the natural plane, you might look at my grandfather and say, well, he seemed, on the moral law and all that, pretty good and all that. Guess what? Not good enough. And I always say this about anyone in my family who I thought might have had the best hope to be saved. It would have been the German side, grandparents. No. And I'll tell you why, though, because the other thought comes to me. They never really talked about the Catholic faith. He said his prayers in morning, afternoon, and night. But he never, ever, 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 ever talked about the Catholic faith and what are you learning at school and what are they teaching you. So we never really spoke about the Catholic faith at all. That already tells you that they don't have the faith. People don't speak about it, don't have it. But my point is this, all I need to know is that my grandfather attended that church that I did. And it's a non-Catholic church. Now people could say, how do you know if your grandfather maybe held a dogma? It's not a question of whether he held a dogma or not. It's a question of why he didn't find it necessary or he wasn't alarmed at the fact that that was being taught. Or you might even say, well, he didn't know. Well, whose fault is that? That's his fault. Aren't you supposed to inquire as to what's being taught at your church? I'm his grandson. Isn't he supposed to say, let me look at your catechism and see what you're teaching you in catechism class, Richard? Let's talk about the faith. If you love the Catholic faith and you studied it, it's going to come out. But if you don't care at all about the Catholic faith, you're not even going to care what you're teaching your kids in catechism. You know, when I came home after catechism class, my parents never even asked me what I was being taught. They never quizzed me. It was only the nuns who were pushing these heresies down our throats. And these were the nuns, like these Jansenist rigoristic nuns on their right-hand side that cared a lot about morality, but they were abominable, uncharitable apostates and heretics. And that's why they couldn't control us kids neither. We even became immoral and became unruly because we weren't in the church and God was punishing these nuns. Saying, you think you're going to just, it's like Pelagianism and humanism. I'm going to make my kids be good by teaching the virtues without God's grace and without the Catholic faith. So in my church right there, on Judgment Day, God's going to say to my grandfather, did you understand what was being taught in that church? If he said no, he goes, why? Well, then you didn't care. You're guilty by affected ignorance, which is also called criminal negligence, for not studying what that church was teaching. Even if he held the dogma, he was outside it because of schism. He was going to Mass and praying with non-Catholics in a non-Catholic church. He didn't care anywhere in his life to sit down and say, hey, what's being taught here to these children of mine? To my grandchildren. And my parents, forget it. Are you kidding? Most of them really even liked the denial of the dogma, by the way, because it fit with Americanism. It allowed them to be cozy with their non-Catholic neighbors and their non-Catholic work people that they're working with. I remember my father was a medical doctor, an MD. There was a certain point where he used to just not have many parties in the house, and if he did, there was only even though they're nominal Catholics. And later on, he started having Anglicans. We had these Anglican doctors coming over and these Presbyterian doctors, and they would come over and have parties at our house, and they would sing and they would talk, and it was horrible. You can see the carnality of it, first of all, and now they're becoming socially friendly with Protestants because they like the denial of the dogma. But my point is, this goes way before Vatican II. It's not just the Vatican II Church. Any time in the history of the Catholic Church, when any local church flips over to some heretical teaching and teaches it to the flock, it is no longer a Catholic Church. That's why Eusebius got up when Bishop Nestorius got up in the pulpit and said, Mary's not the mother of God, which means Jesus isn't really God. All right, so Eusebius got up and denounced him and walked out of that church. All right. And the minute he started teaching that heresy to his flock in that church and you stay there, you're outside the church yourself. There's no excuses in the eyes of God for anybody. We, even our superiors, even if he be a pope or a bishop, if a pope publicly teaches heresy, he's out, loses his office. Bishop, cardinal, it doesn't matter who you are. St. Paul says even if he himself, St. Paul, preaches another gospel. Other than the gospel he preached on, we preach on to you, let it be an anathema in Galatians 1:8. I had other explanations early on that weren't as sufficient as this, trying to talk about, well, you need to hear about this, you need to hear about that, and then people are arguing, well, what about these people who just attain the use of reason? And the reason I was able to say that is on the baptized, read my baptized non-Catholic children book, it's very important, you're going to get to understand the parameters on that and how I came to that absolute truth on that. And there's this particular chapter titled, How a Catholic Church Converts to a Vatican II Church or Becomes a Non-Catholic Church. What is the mechanism that happens? How does that happen? And what brought me to that was one situation here, and I'm not going to get into too deeply, which the apostate Diamond Bros who do deny the salvation dogma, they absolutely believe that a particular child who has been validly baptized and he goes to a Lutheran church and he adheres to that Lutheran church, he could actually be Catholic for years and years and years if he doesn't hear about the Catholic dogma from the or about the Catholic church from a Catholic source. First of all, we say with Father Mueller and Bronson said, how could that kid be Catholic when he never even heard of the Catholic faith in the Catholic church? How can you have what you never heard of? St. Paul say, faith cometh by hearing the word of God, and that's the Catholic faith, not the Protestant faith, not the Lutheran faith. The Diamonds absolutely will tell you, as they told somebody we knew, who was a Lutheran until he was 22, and then he said to the Diamonds, I never heard about the Catholic church till I was 21. Are you telling me I could have been actually Catholic all that time? And they said, yes, indeed. Then they backpedal and try to change it a little bit. But I caught them by their own lying. They are notorious liars. They are such bad... Anybody look at the debates. Look at me debate. They don't answer the good questions. I will tell you the one good question that trapped them. I say trapped. You know, if you're humble and you admit you're wrong, you can never be trapped. If you're humble and you admit you're wrong, you can never... People say, I trapped you, Richard. I say, thank you. It helped me show me where I was wrong. I acknowledge I was a heretic and I was wrong and I correct my ways. That's the only reason I can be here talking the truth, because I keep correcting myself till we get to the point where God has now shown me, because you're going to finally get to the point where you have the whole deposit of faith laying on your lap. But the thing that caught the hypocrisy of the Diamond Brothers was this. They did believe, at least, you need to believe in the Incarnation and Holy Trinity in the very least, explicitly, to be saved. So their heresy was that the Protestant kid, who's a Lutheran, believes in Jesus and the Holy Trinity, so he could be saved because he's believing those two dogmas, even though he never heard about the Catholic Church. And even though, because that kid's believing those dogmas for the wrong reason, I won't even get into that. So, but my point is this. They did say, at least, you need to believe in the Incarnation and the Holy Trinity. Fine, that's correct, that's true, in the very least. I said, well, let's take a kid who's baptized. He goes to the Jehovah Witness Church, small, and he said, I'm a Jehovah Witness. He's not taught about the Incarnation. He's not taught about the Holy Trinity. The Diamond Brothers admit that that needs to be believed in for salvation. I said to the Diamond Brothers, but according to you, because this is what they believed in, you need to at least hear about the Catholic position and reject it to become a formal heretic and to commit the mortal sin and fall out. My question to Diamond was, you said he at least has to believe in the Incarnation and Holy Trinity. He goes to the Jehovah Witness place and he says, I'm a Jehovah Witness. He doesn't believe in those dogmas. Is that kid Catholic or not? And if he isn't, why isn't he? What is his mortal sin? They never answered it, folks. Never. Look at my debate. Never. Down to today, they haven't answered it. Because it answered the deep question. I always knew they couldn't be Catholic. I didn't always have the right answer. Even Mueller and Bronson wrestled with the answer. But they really had it, too, because in portions, they said it's really schism. Bronson and Mueller would say, well, I can't tell you what exactly, maybe for sure, what mortal sin they committed. But I know they had to commit one because they're not in the church. And I know that they can't have the Catholic faith because they never heard of it. And how can you have what you never heard of? They kept saying that. Invisible ignorance of the Catholic religion of that little kid who now is a Jehovah's Witness cannot give him what he never heard of. He needs to hear it, and he needs to hear it from a Catholic.
Or a Catholic source. Or some other source that teaches the true Catholic faith.
This is what I'm talking about with our relatives, and when a one-time Catholic church converts and becomes a non-Catholic church, and I went to Our Lady Good Counsel, and I was out, babe, bounced, and I know it. I really do know it. I'm telling you I know, because I used to talk to God all the time, and he was never really answering some of my critical prayers, and at the same time, I'm saying, but God, you said you would do this. Jesus, you said you would do that. Ask and you shall receive. I wasn't getting responses, you know. I'm not saying God still doesn't work with everybody. He was still working with all of us like he does with Muslims and Talmud Jews in another way. But he was not hearing my prayers as a Catholic because I wasn't Catholic. And I knew it as soon as I was taught the heresy in the Baltimore Catechism. I know now, because God now hears my prayers. I really do. I know the difference. And when God starts to hear your prayers, God's saying, Richard, that's what I promised to do for all Catholics. It's nothing special. It's par for the course if you're Catholic. And I see it now. I see it. And I see what was happening then. But God also sees your heart as a child if you're struggling, you're in anguish, and you're in confusion, and you want to love Him, but that's, He still cannot treat you as a Catholic because you're not. You're not. Now, I'm talking about my Our Lady of Good Counsel teaching the Salvation Heresy. It doesn't matter. You could be teaching any heresy. You could be teaching separation of church and state, Americanist heresy in the local churches. That the United States government is blessed and pleasing in the eyes of God. How could it be? When it's a government that directly rejects the Catholic God and has no room for Christ the King to rule over the state. How could it be? It doesn't matter. The Arian churches, the Anglican churches, it doesn't matter. Take your choice of heresies. Or your apostasies. When the Arian churches, when they became Arian, as soon as the priest started teaching to the flock that Jesus is not God. That Jesus was just a man. Or he was a man later on, he was infused with divinity. It doesn't matter what the heresy is. Those churches were then called Arian churches. They were no longer Catholic. Anybody in that church was out by schism first. Because he's separated from the communion of Catholics. That's what schism is. You're not in communion with Catholics. And if you're in a non-Catholic small C church, you're not in communion with Catholics. Later on, as the kid attains studying and learning about his false religion, like I did, later on, he's going to either be able to detect the things that are wrong and reject them or accept them. Either way. And then, like what happened to me when I saw that Salvation Heresy, I went, boy, I'm telling you folks, it was like the biggest, worst thing I ever read. I raised my hands, I complained. I spoke to the teacher, I said, how could that be? How could you on the, it was on the one page this way, where it had the dog, then you flip the page, and it's the denial of it on the very next page. I said, there was no ropes hanging off the ark. There's only one ship. There's not like one Catholic church and a bunch of little small Catholic churches off the side. All this kind of stuff, I looked at it and said, this is, and dogmas are never contrary to reason, even though they, some of them cannot be understood by reason. So, this is what we got to determine about our grandparents and our parents. In the latter days of the great apostasy in the Vatican II Church, there's no hope for anybody. That's fact. Just, you want to just call up anybody and look what's being taught in their churches. They're being taught by the new catechism promulgated by the apostate anti-pope, John Paul II. And in that catechism, there's more than one heresy. There's multiple heresies, let alone the Salvation Heresy. The Society of St. Pius X. If your father went there or your mother, even though they held the dogma and died in that church, they're in hell. End the discussion. I don't want none of the brothers in here especially trying to trump up a case for their father and for their mother, so then we're all going to start doing it. You may as well get out of here real quick and get rid of your false sentimentality for your father and your mother and your brother. How many verses of our Lord said that the brother shall rise up against the brother and the father against the son and the children will put their parents to death in Matthew 10:21? And in Luke 21:15 he says, you shall be betrayed by your own parents and kinsmen and your own friends. They will put you to death. In other words, stop it. I don't care how nice you think your father was on a natural plane. He did a few nice things. You're like my German grandfather seemed. He did a few nice things. I don't care. That don't mean nothing to me. The thing he didn't do, which was the ultimate nice thing, was really hammer down the faith the right way. And he was attending church at a non-Catholic church. You can't go before the judgment day of God and say, I held the salvation dogma, but I went to the SSB 10 church because I needed to go to Mass. Oh, you needed to go to Mass so bad that you were willing to deny the faith and receive it from the hands of a notorious heretic, because that is what you did. Get away from me, you filthy man, and go to hell. I'm giving you an example of, also all these people coming in, you know, oh, this one and that one, we're praying for her, we're praying devotions. You know, the Greek schismatics do that too, you know. So you have to look at the catechism. You have, and not only just the catechism, any other way that the priest might have been teaching the people from the pulpit, so he is indoctrinating with the heresy that he demanded them to hold for the pulpit and stuff. So there are several factors we need to investigate. My point is, don't put too much hope in these people, especially from the middle 20th century onward, even before that. But before that, there were some cases where some of the laymen really could have been very much, and the churches could have been Catholic, because the priest was not teaching, did not have that heretical catechism being taught. That's a fact. There were some churches that were not teaching it, but some were. What they were doing was testing the waters. They were allowing the heretical catechism as it was originally put out, and it was the catechism number 3, wasn't it? Not even the 2 and the 1? And that, in 1884. And then the explanation of the Baltimore Catechism, which is also commonly referred as Baltimore Catechism number 4, had the heresy and other heresies. But that catechism was not promulgated to every church. It wasn't. It was what I see happening, it was promulgated to a few, or at least they tried to do it, and the pastor said, I'm not going to teach this to my kids. Because I told you in the beginning, even the theologians, when they first introduced this heresy in 1542, they were embarrassed to publicly teach it because they knew it contradicted all the past, and even the universities refused to allow them to teach it as the official position of the university. They had to teach the dogma the way it really is meant, publicly, but they couldn't publicly teach their heresy. And this is what was happening with the catechisms. So there was a slow infiltration of these catechisms, slowly infecting the flock. Now this in the United States, I have proof of this. I don't know what went on in Europe. Each person in Europe who has access, in Germany, in France, and in Italy, would have to study that. But my point is, it's a very simple thing. It's not complicated. If you have access to the church that your relative went to, and you have access to what was being taught at that church through their catechisms, just go and find out, what catechism were you teaching, by the way, in your church? And I want to know when you stopped. In other words, so we were teaching this catechism from 1900 to 1940. Then after World War II in 1946, we switched to this catechism. It's not hard to find out. I don't have the ability to do that now. I'm just here in TRC, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, and I don't have... But it's not a hard thing to do for somebody who is living around where their parents grew up and everything else. Just go in there and find out what catechisms were being taught. If there was any heresy in that catechism, these people were being taught heresies. I'm sorry, folks. It's a non-Catholic church, just like the Catholic churches became Arian when that heresy was being taught in those churches. Just like the Catholic churches in England, small c, became Anglican churches as soon as Henry VIII put his minions in there and they started teaching heresy in the church. It's no different. It's no different. And I say this great apostasy goes way back with philosophy, then it started into mythology, then pornography, and the Salvation Heresy in 1542. But it was not promulgated to the layman until, at least in the United States, 1884, in the Baltimore Catechisms, and it was then only slowly promulgated. So I'm giving you people an idea who to pray for. My grandfather, my German, he's done, he's damned, he's doomed, he's in hell. End of it. End of it. You think I want to go to hell because of my German grandfather, because he seemed nice in the natural plane to me when I was a kid? I'm going to tell you, folks, all you got to do is examine your conscience and examine your grandparents' behavior, really. I'm not talking about even the ones that come in and talk about these devotions, but not about the faith. A lot of the Italians are like that. They'll talk about, oh, I have a devotion to the Mother of Prague. I go before the Our Blessed Mother every Sunday. I pray the rosary every day. I do all this. Ask them about the faith, and they don't even know what you're talking about. They think you're talking another language other than the language they understand. Ask them about a heresy, and they'll think they don't know what a heresy is. You understand what I'm saying? How could a person like that be saved on his judgment day when he doesn't even have a shred of the Catholic faith and doesn't even care? And it doesn't even matter if you had a lot of the Catholic dogmas, but you deny only one, you're going to go to hell. I'm giving you people ways to know about your parents. Let's start putting things into perspective. Let's start looking at the true God and loving Him as our true Father, and Mary's our true Mother above everything. I don't give one bit about my father and mother if they're heretics. They can only send me to hell. I don't care if they did some nice things. That don't mean nothing to me, if they did some nice things. But what? Without the Catholic faith, it's meaningless. And it's even idolatrous if you do it to idolize family members. So anybody that comes in here, I don't want to hear them playing the violin for, oh, man, she was so holy, she did this and she did that. She used to go to Mass every Sunday and every day. I don't care how, if she didn't have the Catholic faith, she's an apostate and she's a heretic. They are even more dangerous, the ones that appear to have some type of an exterior devotion like the traditionalists, but they don't have the faith. That means anybody and everybody that is going to Mass at a Society of St. Pius X church, which is just like your pre-Vatican II churches, it's even worse because they have other things, because they're in communion with the V2 church. They have some extra add-ons. I'm sorry, folks, that church ain't Catholic. That bastard, Archbishop Heretic Lefebvre, that notorious heretic, absolutely taught, even Muslims to the face, that you could be of good will, you could really be Catholic right now, be in a state of grace, and go to heaven if you die as a Muslim. That's what Lefebvre taught. The hero of the SSP-10, walking around like you're so holy, and they're a bunch of apostates and heretics and sanctimonious bastards. I know, I went to their church. I know what they talk in the pulpit. It's stupid. It's dumb. At best, they're humanist and Pelagianist. They talk about virtues, and they talk in a natural kind of a plane. They don't never hammer down the faith, especially the salvation dogma, which they deny. They'll even kick you out of their church if you tell them the truth about the dogma. See, and then that's why people say they hold that door and go, I got to keep quiet so I can go to Mass on Sunday. What did you do? You committed the sin of omission. Because of that priest, you're going to go to hell. Because of you putting the Mass before the faith. So I want people to understand, we have some easy parameters to find out, and just let's look at the local church with the person who's going. Now, there's also a truth in this. It is a deeper dogma that a cardinal or a pope loses his office if he becomes a
formal heretic.
But that doesn't mean you can't believe it if it's being taught to you. Then you become a heretic for not accepting that once it's made aware of you. But that's not the main reason these people are falling out. In the beginning, I did use that reason, and I wasn't correct. I didn't explain myself correctly. I didn't have the real correct position on it. That has to do with my adjuration point 31. Later on, I understood the real crux of the matter, right down to the root of it, is the faith of the local church that the person belongs to. Because not everybody really has access to the teachings.
That a formal heretic is banned from holding offices. So if he had one and becomes a formal heretic, he automatically loses it.
So somebody really may still be referring to a cardinal as a true cardinal, even though he knows he's a notorious heretic, and not realize he lost his office. But that person would have to be obliged to stay out of religious communion with him. He cannot go to his church, he cannot go to his Mass, and he has to denounce him publicly and call him a heretic. But my point is, in the beginning, I thought that was one of the main things, because they're not they're referring to these apostate anti-popes as popes. But it would have been possible to do that if you didn't have those teachings. And you, like I did in the beginning, Second Coming of Jesus Christ speech, I called the guy an apostate, a bastard, a notorious heretic, but I thought he was the Pope. I was guilty of affected ignorance during that Second Coming of Christ speech. Because I would say yes, right around then, if not right after it. Because then I was presented with the teachings. And because I wanted to stay in the monastery and he had nowhere else to go at that time, I kept that secret. And false obedience to the apostate Diamond, Michael Diamond. And so I committed grievous sins myself of knowing the truth and not professing it. That's another thing that put me out and bad. Another thing. But my point is, that's not the main, that is an issue. And it's a very important issue. If somebody comes up and shows you that teaching and you reject it, you're rejecting a dogma. It's also very important if you should be searching that and you're not looking for it. And you're guilty of affected ignorance. But the main issue as to what really determines whether somebody's Catholic or not is the local church he attends. It's not hard. God showed this to me. It took me a little bit. The Holy Ghost, from debates with some bad-willed people and even good-willed people, came in, and through debating the Diamond Brothers on this, and because if you have the humility to admit when you're wrong and make corrections, you will come to the truth. And this truth is simple. It's not hard. It's very easy, and it's very true. All you got to do is look at the local church where your relatives went and find out what they were teaching to the flock. That's all you got to do. And they don't have to teach it every day. All it has to do is be your official position in the church. If it's taught to the kids in catechism, done deal. Is this the catechism that you're teaching your kids that says, like in my case, the St. Joseph Catechism? Yes. Sorry, that whole church isn't Catholic. The Monsignor, the priest, the nuns, and everybody in that church is not Catholic. Just like the Arian church. I don't care, you can go and call yourself Catholic all you want. Isn't that what the Anglicans did and say? We're the real Catholics? And even probably the Arians said, we're the real Catholic Church. You guys got it wrong. That's what they all do. That don't mean nothing what you think you are. The fact is, if that local church is teaching a heresy to their flock, that's the end of it. Now the parents can say, what? Oh, on Judgment Day, my parents don't even care about their faith, you know, at all. But I mean, they can say, I never knew my, you know, really, for all extensive purposes, they could have been teaching us out and out explicit Satanism and cutting off goat heads and offering it to the Beelzebub and all that. And our parents wouldn't have known. Really? Really? They could have had it in the catechism that Satan is God and God is... I mean, they could have put anything in there. My parents didn't ask. They didn't care. They didn't check. It didn't matter to them. On Judgment Day, God's going to say, you were so bad. You know, when you're that bad, that's called religious indifferentism. You deny the whole Catholic faith in one swoop. It's like denying every dogma because you're denying the whole divine church yourself. It's like when you have religious indifferentism like that, that's like saying, I have no use for the Catholic faith. Now, all of her dogmas, you throw them out the window. So they don't come up and say, hey, Richard, by the way, what did you learn today in school? And when our parents seen some of the stuff we were coming home with, especially my sister when she was going to Mount St. Dominic in Caldwell, so-called Catholics, bringing home such trashy, feministic, diabolical teachings and practices, and even me when I went to St. Benedict's Prep in Newark and I came back with some really horrible... I never went for these things. These guys were wacky, you know. They taught you some really bad stuff. I mean, my parents sat back and didn't say anything. And then Catholic University of America was the worst of them all. If you want to talk about a diabolical place, I've never seen a place more evil than that. We never had to pray one Hail Mary, one Rosary, or go to Mass. They had the Maharishi Yogi come and teach transcendental meditation. They had this satanic hard rock and roll and drunkards and alcoholism and drug addicts all over the place. I never saw one priest. I was never counseled once by anybody in any religious matter, not once. They had communist professors. They had philosophers that were dying dogmas. That place was a cesspool of iniquity. And my parents were paying. I hated the place, folks, with a perfect hatred. I couldn't wait to get back to Newark, New Jersey. Even though that was like the Bronx and it was street kids and everything, they were better. More real in their outlook of life. You couldn't flatter them. They didn't want to be flattered. They didn't like false teachings and stuff. They were crude in other ways. But nothing compared to what I saw when I went to Catholic University. That place was diabolical. They were doing all kinds of drugs. Every drug you can think of that was around, they were doing it. Transcendental meditation. Maharishi yogis. False religions. My parents were paying money. The Lord, I don't know how much money it was. We could figure that out. And I was going to school with all these big shots. It was the big shot school. All the top mafia guy kids were going there. Carl Gambino, Bar Castellano, Telly Savalas' nephew. They sent all their different kids to that school. That's supposed to be like the Vatican in the United States. And I knew all these kids. And none of us. They didn't require not one of us. Not one of us to pray one rosary or one Hail Mary. You never saw a priest. If you did, there was only one priest anybody ever saw. He had the gray shirt on with a white collar. I forget his name. He was like the recreation director guy. All the priests, they never wore their collars. They were faggots, homosexuals, effeminate, like you can't believe, effeminate, because I know the seminary where they went, and they were like little fairy birds. They were afraid to even talk to people. It was the worst situation you can ever dream of. You know, and when I went there, that's when I really went crazy. You rebel. Because you can't accept that. But I mean, I don't understand that this is supposed to be a Catholic education that I'm getting there. This is the school I tell you about these philosophers teaching about that it's okay to kill your firstborn if it's a woman in an African tribe because they have different rules than we do. This is what I was taught in philosophy. Or if a tree falls in a forest, does it really fall and make a noise? That's the guy who told you guys are living in a fantasy world. You're a weird. If you lived where I did, I'd punch you in the face. I don't listen to that garbage. I'm telling you. Then I had one guy give me this thing on the Pauline epistles. This guy was so eccentric and so crazy, nobody understood what he was talking about. He was just babbling on and on with all these big words, and there's not one person in the classroom. Maybe there might have been some few did, and they're going to end up like him. But we all just sat there and looked at one another and went, boy, this guy's gone, man. This guy's a real winner. I can't even speak the way he speaks. That's the school I'm telling you I went to. And my parents paid a lot of money for me to go there. And because if you go there, you're going to get a good education, and you're going to get a good job when you come out of there. Right? And then I come home, we told them some of the stuff that's going on, and they didn't even blink. I hated all that stuff. I hated psychology. I hated philosophy. That's one reason I think I had some hope and God was looking at that. I hated that stuff. I really did. I didn't have the truth and I was an apostate myself. I was outside the church and even a pagan, but I didn't like that stuff. It was all goofy to me and weird. All right. Now that's an extreme example of the end of the road because of the great apostasy. But it only has to be one heresy. It doesn't have to be Maharishi Yogis coming on campus. All it has to do is a salvation heretic coming on campus and telling you that a Maharishi Yogi and a Hindu and a Buddhist and a Talmudic Jew and a Muslim could actually be implicitly Catholic and not even know it. They don't need to explicitly believe in Christ in the incarnation and could be saved in that condition. That's worse than everything I just told you, though. You see? Now when people say, well, that's just pretender traditionalists. We don't go for that. No, you do go for that. You are supporting Islam. You are, because you're going to say, well, I don't say they're saved by the religion. No, but they're saved in the religion. They're saved while they're practicing it. The religion is doing them no harm. Their false religion and false God is not harming them. That's what you're saying. All right? You see how bad this great apostasy is? All right? Now, I'm just giving you a few examples of what to go by. I don't want even any brothers who are in the camp are going to be coming into the camp and enjoying having an idolization of your relatives and family members. I don't care how nice they seemed. I don't care if she seemed real holy because she had all devotions. If she never spoke about the Catholic faith, I spit them out of my mouth. I want nothing to do with them. If they went to a local church that was teaching heresy to the flock, they're not Catholic. And the very least, they're guilty of mortal cynicism. And even they would then be guilty of embracing those heresies if they believed them to boot. And then they'd be formal heretics also. Read my book, folks, to get the whole information on this thing. It's very important. Baptize non-Catholic children because it relates to that. And I speak about it in other places. But I'm telling you now, I don't want somebody coming here and say, I just think my father was so great. He did so many nice things, you know. He was a great farmer or a great rancher. In the natural plane, maybe he seemed to be very good. He went to the SSP 10, but he really didn't. He didn't deny the dogma. He really did say, "I believe." I don't care then. What was he doing there? He didn't belong there. He was committing sins of omission, guilty by association. I don't want to hear it. Damn, doomed in the pit of hell. So I want to put the end to this family idolization, to everything in here, because Jesus said very, very, very few people are being saved. And he who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He said, who is my mother and brother? He who hears the word of God and does it. That's the end of it. All right? So this is going to be a good sermon for people who have a problem with telling us, oh, we're praying for our relatives. Now, again, I will tell you, if you go back to a point in time when we don't know what the local church taught, you could pray for them as if they're in purgatory. But that doesn't mean they are. That doesn't mean they are. And if anybody ever says they're in heaven, woe to you. Unless by special revelation from God and massive miracles, like a Francis of Assisi or a saint that has these overwhelming miracles. And even then you've got to be careful. Because even if the person did have that testimony but he was a heretic, you don't go for it. So we have to go back and look at the church. If we don't know what that church was teaching, like I just told you about my with my uncle on my mother's side. And my aunt, I don't know what church they went to. And it was before my... So I pray for them as if they're in purgatory. But as soon as I find out that whatever church they went to started to deny a dogma and teaching the catechism to the flock, at any point in time when they were attending Mass at that church, they're off my list. That's it. They're off my list. So I'm giving you an idea. No one would ever dare say in these final days, latter days of the great apostasy, that any of these Vatican II churches are Catholic in any way. They hold on multiple heresies. The SSP 10 isn't. All your Chicatis and Sanborns and CMRI churches are not. They all deny the salvation dogma, each and every one of them. And they have other heresies too to boot. I'm just giving you the main one. You can just call them up and ask them and you're going to find out. They're not Catholic churches. Everybody that dies in that CMRI church up there is in hell. And I tell you folks, God also has ways of showing it to you. Just go around and look at the way those people live and what they believe in. I was up there. They're abominations. They're disgusting. They have no conviction whatsoever. They're immoral. They're effeminate. Non-judgmentalists. And I can go on and on. That's just some other signs to show you. But even if they weren't all those things, all you have to do is be going to a church that has one heresy being taught to the flock, and it's not Catholic. So when we come in and tell you, and we know that your relative died in the latter days of the great apostasy, which I put down the promulgation in the new catechism of John Paul II, and I really think it goes even before that, because I don't know if you're ever really going to find any church even before that. You know, the guy, Mark Messa, S.J., supposedly, he's not a real Jesuit, he even came out and said that after World War II, in the middle of the 20th century, almost all the laymen were denying the dogma. Almost all of them. Not all of them, but almost all of them. So that gives you an idea of what confidence you can put in the salvation of your relatives. So if you tell me, for instance, that my mother or my grandmother died in 1998, she's in hell. I don't want to hear it. You can't pray for her even. You can't. Because we know that the church they went to wasn't Catholic, and she was going to a Vatican II church. Damned! You insult God when you do anything less than that. And you deny the salvation dogma, too. You see how it's all connected? Right? You're going to save yourselves here and now. That's why Jesus kept saying, don't be looking at your blood relatives. They ain't going to save you. What did John the Baptist tell the Jews who were confident that they were racially Jews? He says, don't think that you're going to be saved just because you're a Jew. God can turn that rock into a Jew. Your faith is the all-important thing. And your faith is what comes before even the Mass or anything else. Like St. Augustine said, or St. Jerome, you can have the Mass, you can have the sacraments, you can have all the devotions, but if you don't have the faith, you ain't Catholic, and you're on the broad road to hell. Just like the Greek schismatics and the Russian Orthodox schismatics. Okay, end of sermon. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. It can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.